Numbers 26. After the plague, the Lord said to Moses and Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, take a census of the whole Israelite community by families, all those 20 years old or more who are able to serve in the army of Israel. So on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, Moses and Eleazar, the priest, spoke with them and said, take a census of the men 20 years old or more as the Lord commanded Moses. These were the Israelites who came out of Egypt. The descendants of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were through Hanoch, the Hanochite clan, through Palu, the Palu clan, through Hezron, the Hezronite clan, through Carmi, the Carmite clan. These were the clans of Reuben, those numbered were 43,730. The son of Palu was Eliab, and the sons of Eliab were Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. The same Dathan and Abiram were the community officials who rebelled against Moses and Aaron and were among Korah's followers when they rebelled against the Lord. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them along with Korah, whose followers died when the fire devoured the 250 men. And they served as a warning sign. The line of Korah, however, did not die out. The descendants of Simeon, by their clans, were through Nemuel, the Nemuelite clan, through Jamin, the Jaminite clan, through Yakin, the Yakinite clan, through Zerah, the Zerite clan, through Shaul, the Shaulite clan. These were the clans of Simeon. There were 22,200 men. The descendants of Gad by their clans were through Zephon, the Zephonite clan, through Haggai, the Haggite clan, through Shuni, the Shunite clan, through Ozni, the Oznite clan, through Eri, the Erite clan, through Erodi, the Erodite clan, through Erli, the Erlite clan. These were the clans of Gad. Those numbered were 40,500. Er and Onan were the sons of Judah, but they died in Canaan. The descendants of Judah by their clans were through Shelah, the Shelonite clan, through Perez, the Perizzite clan, through Zerah, the Zerite clan. The descendants of Perez were through Hezron, the Hezronite clan, through Hamul, the Hamulite clan. These were the clans of Judah. Those numbered were 76,500. The descendants of Issachar by their clans were through Telah, the Telahite clan, through Puah, the Puahite clan, through Jashub, the Jashubite clan, through Shimron, the Shimronite clan. These were the clans of Issachar. Those numbered were 64,300. The descendants of Zebulun, by their clans, were through Sered, the Seredite clan, through Elon, the Elonite clan, through Jehleel, the Jehleelite clan. Those were the clans of Zebulun. Those numbered were 60,500. The descendants of Joseph by their clans were through Manasseh and Ephraim were the descendants of Manasseh through Machir, the Machirite clan. Machir was the father of Gilead. Through Gilead, the Gileadite clan. These were the descendants of Gilead through Eazer, the Erizite clan, through Helek, the Helekite clan, through Asriel, the Asrielite clan, through Shechem, the Shechemite clan, through Shemida, the Shemidaiah clan, through Hefer, the Heferite clan, Zelophehad, there we go. Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, had no sons. He had only daughters, whose names were Malah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These were the clans of Manasseh. Those numbered were 52,700. These were the descendants of Ephraim by their clans. Through Shethulah, the Shulathite clan, through Becher, the Becherite clan, through Tahan, the Tahanite clan, these were the descendants of Shethulah. Through Aaron, the Aaronite clan, these were the clans of Ephraim, whose numbered were 32,500. These were the descendants of Joseph by their clans. The descendants of Benjamin, by their clans, were through Bela, the Belaite clan, through Ashbel, the Ashbelite clan, through Ahiram, the Ahiramite clan, through Shupham, the Shuphamite clan, through Hupham, the Hupamite clan. The descendants of Bela, through Ard and Naaman, were Ard, the Ardite clan, through Naaman, the Naamite clan. These were the clans of Benjamin. Those numbered were 45,600. These are the descendants of Dan by their clans, through Shuham, the Shuhamite clan. These were the clans of Dan. All of them were Shuhamite clans, and those numbered were 64,400. The descendants of Asher by their clans were through Imnah, the Imnahite clan, through Ishvi, the Ishvite clan, through Beriah, the Beriite clan, through the descendants of Beriah, through Heber, the Heberite clan, through Malkiel, the Malkielite clan. Asher had a daughter named Sarah. These are the clans of Asher. Those numbered were 53,400. The descendants of Naphtali by their clans were Yazreel, the Yazilite clan, through Guni, the Gunite clan, through Yazer, the Yazerite clan, through Shelem, the Shelemite clan. These were the clans of Naphtali. Those numbered were 45,400. The total number of the men of Israel was 601,730. The Lord said to Moses, "The land is to be allotted to them as an inheritance based on the number of names. To a larger group, give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group, a smaller one. Each is to receive its inheritance according to the number of those listed. Be sure that the land is distributed by lot. What each group inherits will be according to the names for its ancestral tribe. Each inheritance is to be distributed by lots among the larger and smaller groups. These were the Levites, who were counted by their clans. Through Gershon, the Gershonite clan, through Kohath, the Kohathite clan, through Merari, the Merarite clan. These also were the Levite clans, the Libnite clan, the Hebronite clan, the Malite clan, the Mushite clan, the Korite clan. Kohath was a father of Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, who was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. Aaron was the father of Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, but Nadab and Abihu died when they made an offering before the Lord with unauthorized fire. All the male Levites a month old or more numbered 23,000. They were not counted along with the other Israelites because they received no inheritance among them. These are the ones counted by Moses and Eleazar the priest when they counted the Israelites on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. Not one of them was among those counted by Moses and Aaron the priest when they counted the Israelites in the desert of Sinai. For the Lord had told those Israelites they would surely die in the desert, and not one of them was left except Caleb son of Jephunneh and Joshua son of Nun. Chapter 27. The daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mala, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They approached the entrance of the tent of meeting and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly, and said, "Our father died in the desert. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, what Zelophehad daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and turn their father's inheritance over to them. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, turn his inheritance over to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan, that he may possess it. This is to be a legal requirement for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given is the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin. Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in. Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses.
Okay, we have some questions. You had that part first?
Yeah, the land is to be divided by lot. What does that mean? How does that work?
Okay, we'll get to that. That's a good question. Yes.
That was exactly mine. The first reading, to many you shall give the greater inheritance, and to the few you shall give the smaller inheritance. To each one shall their inheritance be given according to those that were numbered. Okay. But the land shall be divided by lot. So I'd like just a little clarification.
Helen.
When it says it's going by each clan, it says 601,730. Are they going by David's count, or are they going by so many clans?
Oh, we'll address that one as well. Hope someone wrote the questions down, because I probably forgot. I'm going to have to address, they have the same question, and you have yours. You have another one?
Yeah. If this adds up, and if they're counting by number, they've got 601,000 people. That's just over 500,000. Now, when we were back coming across the Red Sea, counting by the number, did we have over 1,000,000?
I'll answer that question too. It's all written down here in my notes. I figured those were going to come up. First, I want to go through a certain word that we need to look at, if you don't mind, because it helps us to be able to have a better picture. All these names that he ran off, you know, Reuben and Simeon and Gad and so on and so forth down the line, he named divisions that are there. Now the divisions are the divisions of the direct descendants of each one of the men that were there. Reuben had four sons, and they came into what's called four divisions. We're talking military here for just a moment. So Reuben actually had four divisions. And that word, it says there, it came to pass, that's what I want. And verse 2, someone read what that sentence says. Better than what he did?
Taking census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel from 20 years old and upward by their father's households, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel.
Any other translation?
Take a census of the whole Israelite community from the age of 20 years up by their ancestral houses, all Israelites able to bear arms.
Okay. So what we're missing here is this word. That word, but translated, most of your translations, as the word is, census. That doesn't exist. And when you look at this thing, now don't write notes down on your note yet. Just listen to me what I'm saying so you can understand what I'm saying. That means all it is Rosh. What is Rosh?
Head.
Head. Okay. So now he says, now, count, take the heads, the head of all of the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, who are the head, or what is the heads of the house of Israel? Well, simple. Reuben, Simeon, Gad. Okay, all the sons, those are the Rosh. They are the beginning. Rosh does not necessarily mean just head. It also means the beginning of that family or that group of people. In the very beginning, we have the Genesis that says, Bereshit. Now, Rashit means the head, or in the beginning of it. When we think of a river, we say, where's the head? It doesn't mean that this kind of head. Where did it begin? Okay, so when we're looking at the Rosh here, and the word census should not be there. It should be referring to the head, or the beginning. Start from the beginning. All right, so that's what is taking place here. So we have the introduction. First thing we have is Reuben, and how many divisions did Reuben have? He had four. All right, now we go down to Simeon. How many divisions does Simeon have? Three. We go down to Gad. He had the most. He had six. We go to, what's the next one? Judah had three. Issachar, four. Zebulun, three. Manasseh, three. Ephraim, three. Benjamin, four. Dan, one. Asher, three. And Naphtali, four. So now when we look at it, says, count the, or I want you to go to the head, and I want you now to number them. So basically, he's going through each one of those sections or divisions. All right? So we have, does this, I mean, this is a little bit complicated.
No, it's great.
Okay, to understand what how he is doing this and why he is numbering it for a reason. I want you to go real quick, though, because you know it says there, of to answer Ellie's question quickly, and it says the family of, okay, verse 7. There's the families of Reubenites who were numbered of them were 43, and it says thousands. Hebrew, that word is not, it's Elef, E-L-E-P-H. It's the same thing as we'd use the word for Aleph, but starts with an E rather than an A. Now, to go back, you understand what we're talking about. Let's go just for a second and go to the book of Judges. Okay. And we're going to talk about one of those Elephs. Alright. And you'll recognize it real quick. Sixth chapter. Verse 15. What does it say? Gideon's talking. What did he say?
So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house."
Okay. That word clan is E-L-E-P-H. Now he says, my thousand is least in all of them. Or is he talking about what? How many did he have on his clan? Did he have thousands? How many men did he use? 300. And God got them knocked down to less than that. So we have to understand a little bit. We're talking about the word thousand. It doesn't mean like we have 1,000 in the number or the value of a thousand. It's very clear in the Hebrew when it says a certain number, va, and then a number afterwards. Like it says here, Reuben, 43, Alf, 730. Now, we're only counting the clan that has to do in association with the ones that to be in the military, right? Mm-hmm. This is very plain. So I don't want to go too much farther than that. We cross about the lot, okay? And I have to drop that into... We'll move that on to see where did I see that. I'll go find it.
The scriptures?
Sorry, what?
Are you looking for the scriptures about the lot?
In verse chapter 27. Okay. And now we have here, and we have let's see where we're at now. He said, he shall, verse 21 of chapter 7, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by a judgment of the Urim. Urim is one of the lots. Want it, huh? You understand what I'm saying here? It's one of the lots. There are two lots. What was the second lot called? What? Turim, okay. But it's really, in Hebrew, you don't have the TH sound, you have Turim. All right. What does that mean?
That's the other lot.
I'm sorry, what?
That's the other lot.
That's the other. Okay, what does Urim mean?
Light.
Lights, plural. All that means. Now, what does Turim mean?
Righteousness.
Okay. So the two lots are out there. One is for light, and the other one is for righteousness. So when they cast the lot, what did they cast? They either cast the lot of righteousness or cast the lot of light. Or lights plurality, I'm sorry. Do you understand what I'm saying so far?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a picture of what these two lots are for. One is for righteousness and the other one is for lights. So now, when you think about dividing of the land, what did he specifically say? See to it that what?
According to lot.
What? The big tribe gets what?
More.
The most. The little tribe gets what?
Right.
So what lot was cast? The cast of lights or the cast of righteousness?
Righteousness.
God, now God has separated it, righteously dividing the family into the land of Israel. Okay, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, just little things it's kind of fascinating to know what those are all about, you know. How they cast lots, I haven't got the slightest idea. I have not read anything, and I do not know, so I don't have a good number. I don't, when it says plural lights, probably there were 12. And if they're righteousness, it probably was 12. Because what was on the breastplate of Aaron?
Stones.
12 stones. So we got this picture of 12. So that's what I'm thinking, that it has to do with relationship. So when a lot was cast, one of the righteous lots was cast, it was first cast for Reuben. The second lot was cast for whom?
Simeon.
Third lot was cast for?
Yeah.
And so on down the line. Okay.
Did they get to choose where they're...
No. God told him exactly where to put them through Moses. But what happened, they didn't succeed. And Daniel will get to that when he gets to that point of... is it Joshua, isn't it? Or is it Judges? Joshua. Well, that's another story. All right. Any more questions? About chapter 24. 27, rather. I mean 26. I'll get it out yet. Have I been able to answer most of your questions? It's kind of fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. So God told them later on, this is where you're going to settle.
Yeah. Now, they didn't always choose according. By the way, sometimes in when we read the word commandment or command, this is not referring to the Torah. It's not referring to, rather, the law. That word is very specifically in Hebrew, meaning I am saying something and I want you to carry it out, period. Okay? Do it according to the command of Moses. Now, Moses said something. And that verbal word for command in Hebrew, when generally most of the time, it referring to a verbal command coming out of the person's mouth or a statement, not an order, not one of authority, but a statement coming out, which has to do with, and the individual has to be, what's that word I want to use? We use this bad word today, ordained, but he has a function to do. He has a job to do. That's his job. The members of the people of the board of this church are commanded. Not by the Torah. Not by law. But the command to be there and participate and do and carry out the functions of the members of the board. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So when you look at it here, now, fascinating thing about chapter 27. This is when Joshua gets a command. This is where the command now is changed over. And he said what Moses wanted to know, who's going to do it. And he says now, verse 12 first. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into the mount of Abarim and see the land which I have given you, the children of Israel. Then you shall see it, and you shall also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron, your brother, is cast from the wilderness of Zion. During the strife of congregation, you rebelled against my command. Here's that word command. My words, my statement. Okay? Moses did not break a law. He just broke a command. Yes?
He worded instruction.
Instructions. Okay? Because he was instructed to speak unto the rock, and he took it on his own self, and he was in anger and said, must I and Aaron bring forth this water? Uh-oh. That's not what God said. You didn't honor me. You didn't respect me. You didn't have anything in there because of that. Okay, verse 15. This is where Joshua was appointed. Moses said to the Lord, saying, let Yahweh, the Eternal, or Elohim, of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Now the word congregation, by the way, it's kind of like we use it today, and it really does not mean a congregation in our modern language. It means the entire house, or all of the people here in this particular case, not just a handful. Someone had to take in charge of all of Israel at this point in time. Congregation is kind of a weak description. It should be better translated as of the people, you know. If I use that word, if you're going to interpret words, it should be more classified of all the people, not just a congregation, but of all the people, including those who were not of the house of Israel, but were joined with the house of Israel. All right? So far, so good?
So far, so good.
Okay. And now here he says now, and who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out, and the Lord may, that the Lord may not be like, that the congregation of the people of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Well, see, now Moses sometimes, you know, I don't know if Sesame DeMille's, I think he, it looked like Moses appointed Joshua. Well, we see in Scripture he didn't appoint Joshua. God appointed Joshua as to be the one to lead them in. Anyway, by the way, the word sheep, it's a fascinating word in Hebrew. It means migration. The word sheep means migration. What does sheep do? They migrate from one pastor to the next pastor to the next pastor, because you can't keep sheep in the same pastor. What happens if you keep sheep in the same pastor?
They'll keep eating and eating until there's nothing left.
Nothing left. The whole land is completely destroyed. So you gotta keep moving them. So when we are sheep of God, we gotta keep moving us.
That's why, like in America in the last century in particular, you always have these fights between the cattle barons and the sheep herders.
Right.
Because cows don't eat everything.
They don't take everything out.
Grass in the same way that sheep will.
That's right.
So they would always argue over how this.
But it's kind of funny how that word means the one that migrates.
Yeah. Or,
you know, the whole flock migrates. Well, that's a good word for sheep, right? In Hebrew, I don't know what it is in any other languages. I just think it's kind of neat. If I remember the letters, it's Ayin. I can't remember. Did I write it down? Don't think I did. Nope. I didn't write it down. I meant to write it down. I didn't. Anyway, I thought it was very interesting. Where am I at now? Okay. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom the Spirit, who is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him. This now would give him, pass it on the complete authority from Moses unto Joshua, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation. And in the says, some of your translations have it as the inaugurate him in the sight, and others have saved to commission him in the sight. What do you think it means?
A charge.
He is the one. Now, so it was though Moses had to pass on, lay hands upon him. That's one thing. What did Eleazar have to do? He was a high priest. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, before all the people, and appoint him, that is, Eleazar is to appoint him in their sight, that you have given your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may know to be obedient. Now, see, the focusing here now shifts from just from not from out of Moses now, shifts to Eleazar. All right. And Eleazar now is the one that's the high priest. And he's the one now is making communication, direct association. Joshua now has to be appointed by or has to have hands laid upon him by Moses and then has to have appointed. Now listen very carefully what words. Remember we went to this other part? And he says, verse 21, it's a fascinating part about it. Now we have the, listen. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest and shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. By the judgment of the lights. Why would he have to be? Now the judgment, by the way, is a positive judgment of the appointment. He's been appointed now. Now he is appointed, and the judgment is, of course, from God. And now the lights, the Urim, is involved before the 12 lights.
I thought Urim was righteousness.
No, Turim. T-I-R-E-M. I don't remember Daniel. Turim. You're saying of Turim. T-I-U-R-E-M. I think it is. T-U-R-E-M. Turim. Huh?
T-H-U-R-M-M.
Yeah. Take out the T for Hebrew, and you pronounce it like a T. Yeah. Turim. Yeah. And it's just a fascinating word. But here we're at this point now. Now he's before the lights. Now he has to be ordained according to lights, not according to the dream, but according to the lights. One of the days I'll have to go in more detail. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. He and all the children of Israel with him and all the people. Now see, there's a word here. Children of all, or all the sons, all the family of Israel and the other people. All the people. Those who were not part of the house of Israel, but now have been joined themselves with Israel. And now we have the people. Okay? There's a synagogue. This is what's that one near us? Bethany means my people. That's what Ami means, my people. They're people of God. God said, these are my people. So if you look at these, it's not just Israel, which is my people, but also the people that were with Israel are my people. That's how God looks at things. They're mine. That's how they, that's who they are, and that's what they are. Anyway, and Moses did, verse 22, as the Lord had commanded him. There's that word command now. Not a law. It's what came out of the mouth, and Moses carried out that instruction completely. Okay? So sometimes when we read the word command, God commanded, and sometimes in the 613, sometimes just a command. My words are coming out, and you're going to go do it. It has little to do with what's called the law. So when we have the 613 commandments, it's not just the written laws. It should involve the words that came out of his mouth. Because why did Jesus say, you will live by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So there are laws that came out. There's also words that come out. When he tells you to do, he wants you to do this and do that. May not be a law, but your action, to act upon it. And so when we talk about this, when Moses acted upon the command or acted upon the statement of God. Okay? Any more questions? Any more thoughts? Any more ideas? But you know, I wanted to clarify though that in that first chapter 26, that when that word census is not referring to just the number, we're going to go to the head, the beginning, or the one that the start of the family, and those four divisions within it, and so on and so forth. That's how come it broke down. Why it is broken down in that pattern. And in those patterns, sometimes you'll have the grandson being broken down to another line. All right? They were divisions within the division. All right? Any more? If that's it, we're doing pretty good. Okay. It is 5 minutes. We see came early. I got five minutes. Since I've got 5 minutes, good. Some of you were at our house for the new moon, right? You know, I see things in sevens. I find it very fascinating to see things in sevens. And I want to go over some of those because it's very fascinating. One of these days I'm going to give a whole sermon on Psalms 19th chapter. It's a very, very fascinating psalm. And I have not been able to gel it together, but I got a real good picture of how I want to present it. I'm not talking that I'm going to take away from Daniel. He's a long way to go before he gets up there. If I could find the book of Psalms 19th chapter. I want you to turn here for a moment. Psalm 19. And we're going to not go the whole chapter. We're going to reach chapter verse 17 first. The reason why I'm going from 17 to the end of the chapter is because the word Yahweh is listed seven times. 7. I said, did I say 17? I meant 7.
Chapter 7?
Chapter 19, verse 7. I'm going to rattle off pretty quick because I've got about 3 minutes left. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandments of the Lord are pure. Fear of the Lord is clean or holy. Judgment of the Lord, true. Drop down to verse 14. The last part it was started is that, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. 7 times this word is listed, and it's very fascinating. Now, there's benefits. The reason why the last one is worded that way is because of benefits. Look at the benefits. Back to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? Converts the soul. All right, that's fantastic. We're talking about the Torah. By the way, it's not Torah, it's Torot. Or Torat, which is plural. It should be a plural. The laws or the teachings are plural. And the testimony of the Lord is sure. What's the benefits?
Making wise.
Making wise. The simple. You see the benefit, the glory here of the law and the statutes and the words and the commandment. Remember I said what the word commandment was? The statutes are of the Lord are right. What do they do?
Rejoice your heart.
Rejoicing in of the heart. The commandments or the sayings, the words of the Lord are pure. The results?
Enlightening
the eyes. Isn't that fantastic? I'm going to go in major detail about what all these words mean and break it down sometime in the future. The fear of the Lord is clean. Benefits?
It lasts forever.
God's purity lasts forever. Okay. And the judgments of the Lord are true. Benefits?
Righteousness.
Altogether righteousness. Now you got all those listed down there. Verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my redeemer. Okay? Fascinating terminology. All of those 6 that we see there listed centers in on my mind, the center candle in the menorah. My strength and my redeemer.
That's the middle one.
The middle one. And just spread out. Look at the glory that's come there. You can't bypass the lights, the Urim, that is before you.